So it's time right now. What if the great earthquake occurs in one part of the world? What if a Yellowstone just erupts right now? Wouldn't it, that's an extinction level event? There's so many things we can talk about. Comets, the meteors hitting. A nuclear holocaust, no question about it. We could see the planet destroyed, humanity destroyed. So many extinction level events. So many people writing about it. What will end the human race as we know it? Hey, the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast, that's what we're going to talk about today. Yesterday, I had the final, I was going to do the final extra file series on depopulation. We're going to do that tonight. Killing the Human Race, that's the title tonight. This is the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar. Glad to be with you today. And the news everywhere in the United States, anyway, is the campaigning, the caucuses, the Super Tuesday, first day of March. Unbelievable to me. It's as if January and February didn't exist. Too busy in January and February, and sadly, we're not getting everybody we can. We love you. We're going to try to do that even more and more, and just to let you know. When there's no one else around, nobody loves you more, nobody knows you better, and nobody desires your life greater than God Himself. So wherever you are in all the world, there's a personal, living, omniscient, immortal God that knows how to give you that gift of immortality in Christ. Hey, that's the old rugged cross. Someone called it the wood between the worlds. Do you know the living Christ? Shatterthedarkness.net, that is the website behind all of this. Shatterthedarkness.net. Today, and my name is Russ Dizdar, by the way, if you didn't know. Shatterthedarkness.net, on the right-hand side, free courses. We're approaching 21 million downloads of all the MP3s and archive MP3s. So we'll continue to try to put more. We got a DVD project that is supposed to be going on right now, and we're just needing to sink our teeth here for the next 3 weeks to see what we can do to get the live streaming video room and research center all up and going. But I just can't help it. When there's needs on the field, we want to go out there. We want to be out there to engage. That's what we did in Oregon, and that's what we did in Kelowna, Canada. And so many of you, now that you've heard that we've been there, writing us. Some are mad at us for not letting them know in advance. On this trip, we couldn't do that in advance. We had a big agenda. I mean, just gone all day. Back towards the evenings and tired, back in bed. Little nice hotel my wife had set up for us. $54 a night. That wasn't bad there in Oregon. We're glad once again that spring is going to be just beginning to show itself. As a matter of fact, I'm looking outside today. I'm seeing some of the tulips. The flowers are coming up. That's just a personal note. Listen, you know what? Let's get personal once in a while, let you know about some of the things going on here and let you realize that behind this mic is the guy that got to get up every day, do the stuff, you know, take care of the house, have a family. And, you know, there's bits and pieces of just going out and doing things you like, too, things you love to do. Going to go, hopefully, sometime this week to the gun range and shoot a Sig Sauer 45. I like just the gun range. And then also back deep in the woods, I promised one of our fellow workers here, the five-mile track I used to do deep in the woods, pines. We're gonna go there. I'm going to see if I can my leg will handle that. So you keep praying strength, and we're going to keep doing all we can to be here with you. Glad you're here. The Ragged Edge Radio broadcast on this Tuesday night, Super Tuesday, as they're calling it. Wonder what's going to happen. You wonder. I was on with John B. Wells today. Did a video where they're going to put up. I mean, I sat behind the video cam and did this interview. He's a good interviewer. And we got, you know, he wanted to get in, and we got into, and he allowed me to get into some some of the deep, ugly stuff as far as what's going to be happening, the satanic ritual side of things. We're not going to talk about that tonight, but I believe that's also behind the depopulation of the planet. It's by design. Now we could talk about with tsunamis, 100-mile-wide storms. We could talk about hurricanes and tornadoes and, well, the kind of earthquakes that take out thousands. And those have been occurring again and again everywhere. And we're going to see more of those. But tonight we're going to talk about killing the human race in a whole-scale manner. ShadowTheDarkness.net, the website, will give you information on conferences coming up. Now, we're going to be in Dallas in less than 3 weeks. I'm going to ask thousands of you, please pray for Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. Please pray for this because I'm going to speak on Friday night. We're asking that, you know, God will visit this place, as in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 8. So we're just going to pray. That's what we're going to believe for. And we're going to speak a message that I hope to put up later also to you on the web. I think it's In the Darkness of Night. It's based out of a story Jesus told about the evil one coming during the night. Now, we are going to put boots to that in the sense that he was literally revealing the real war, what he was going to do in the redemption. I mean, this great move, this great mission, this great act of God, the redeeming of humanity, and the desire to have all. If you've never heard, wherever you are in the world, Arab nations, Russia, China, Asia, listen, the living personal God, it's all about wanting to know you, wanting to reach to you, get you, redeem you. God wants you to live forever with him. And there's a way to do that in Christ. Now, the other side of the story is the evil one comes at night, and he's going to do what? He's going to raise up something in contrast to the redeemed worldwide. And they're going to serve an agenda that is that by design will help, kill well over half, well over half the human race. Is that unbelievable? On the Ragged Edge tonight, the final one, part 9, this is Extra Files, killing the human race. Conference in Dallas coming up in 3 weeks. They've got live stream. That's all that's left right now. And you can get into the live stream for the conference there. We're going to be in Indiana, the Supernatural Crossroads Conference. We're going to tell you more and more about that. We're going to probably have interviews with Chief Joseph Riverwind and also L.A. Marzulli. And we're going to be talking about in the end of April. Actually, it ends on the weekend of Walpurgis. Big, big ritual nights. Three more conferences. We're going to do one on evangelism, one on the healing of SRA, one on prophecy coming up. We're going to do here locally. And then we have a Nashville major conference going to be, I'll wait till those who are sponsoring this one, until they want to come out and give the surprising news about it. And then another one in Tampa, Florida. We'll list all those on the Shadow of the Darkness main website. Tonight, why would anybody want to kill the human race? Think in terms of the human race, and the truth is, and I'm going to tell you a story. I think I've told this once, maybe twice. I was a Youth for Christ director years ago. I was in Inside Akron, in the what is called L.A. Akron, Lower Akron area. If you live in Akron, you know what I'm talking about. But in that Lower Akron area, there it's a really tough area. Really tough area. Drugs, violence, you know, all the really, really tough. A church allowed us to use the front yard to run Youth for Christ clubs. I would take 10, 12, 14 new volunteers in the summertime down there to begin to work with kids all over the place. Now, we would do things, and around the corner from where we were was the Hell's Angels headquarters. Again, drugs on the streets everywhere. kids that would come up that didn't have enough food, and we of course gave food, and but we ran our clubs. One night we had and we had kids. And we're talking about kids that were junior high, high school, but in that area we had white kids, black kids, Asian kids, we had Hispanic kids. And it was just a mixture of everyone. I remember the Vietnamese kids that came, and they weren't speaking very much English yet, but they were there, and they were loving everything. In my group one time, we were talking about it was a group discussion on the human race, and we were talking about some of the bad things that mankind does. So I posed a question to all of the kids there, the young folks there. If you were God, what would you do? If you were God, what would you do? A young inner city kid, he jumped up off the grass and he yelled it real loud. If I were God, I'd kill them all. I can't understand where it came from. I really couldn't. But amazing comments that this young little boy made among the others. I think the other ones, I remember looking over at the Vietnamese kids, and I saw the eyes, you know, pop really big, and they all looked around and looked at me. And because we were dealing with the nature of God, what does God want? What does God want with your life? And that image that that young man gave, if I was God, you know, he just like could destroy them all. And yet, you wonder sometimes, like before the flood, and you have huge issues before the flood, the Nephilim, that's another old story, but we're dealing with humankind right now, and, you know, the death penalty issues and things that people do. Now, let me tell you again about the story yesterday, and again, if you were God, what are you going to do? You got a woman committed to Allah. She's Islamic. She's in Russia. She's a babysitter for a family in Russia. And so to the glory of this being, Allah, territorial entity, Allah, moon god, Allah, she cut off the head of a little girl. I saw the picture today of a little girl. Just took a big old knife and cut the head off of the girl, little girl. And she was holding it up, yelling Allah, you know, praise to her demon god. The blood and all, I mean, just a bloody mess, a violent thing on a little child that wouldn't even know what was going on. Did she play the game of being the nanny? What was the, you know, all the other issues concerning it, of course. People saw it. The video is up. We put it up on the Facebook thing. And yet this is what's going on in the world that we live in. And so, of course, she's going to be nabbed. She's going to be, taken down. And you have a response to radical evil. What do you do if someone wants to come and cut the heads off your family? Going to destroy your family? Going to rape your family? Going to kill your family? I mean, all around the world, if you're living in Somalia, if you're living in the Middle East, if you're living in Syria, Iraq, if you're living in parts of the world where there seems to be no governmental protection, nothing else around you. I mean, this is what so many in the world are seeing. Now, let me give you a story today. You're going to hardly believe this, okay? This is another issue concerning this, because I believe the ones violent like that are demonstrating what's to come, and they are highly committed to that kind of slaughter. But it's not just the slaughter of humanity. It's slaughter unto a territorial demonic entity that always seems to bring such a presence of radical evil. See, we believe that in those kind of child sacrifices, demonic presence can come through. I was reading a little bit earlier also where the United Nations had declared, I'm looking for the article I had just a little while ago, seems to have slipped through somewhere, and just discussing the numbers of ISIS radicals that have now, by design, intertwined themselves in the refugee issue. The UN head and others are finding that this is happening in a huge way so that they can be released around the world to do what they're doing there and what this Russian one did there in Moscow. The bloody mess is still there. I mean, you're locking your doors at night. You're feeling it in the air. Then I look at a picture of a monstrous, it's called a monstrous armored pusher military truck, Punisher, it's rather. Russia's Vladimir Putin checked out his Federal Security Service's newest armored vehicles. Now, I don't know if you've seen this thing completely blacked out. I mean, it actually looks like something you would see in The Terminator. Actually, it looks like something you would see in some futuristic. Now, here's this massive, massive militaristic vehicle. Russian is Mr. Putin's checking it out today. And again, what does it tell you? Is that about, you know, the project, you know, in case of martial law, collapse, breakdown, military? Well, as I mentioned to John B. Wells today, isn't it kind of strange? Here's Russia, here's the United States, two superpowers, and it seems like they cannot stop ISIS. And though they want to say that oil fields and banks and others have been bombed lately, they're just seeming they're not able to stop. And ISIS is recruiting thousands, and they're deploying them. And I don't know if you've seen some of the video, too, now, the kind of mind control conditioning that the new recruits are getting. I mean, just being slapped and punched and kicked in the head, guns to your head, making them repeat. I mean, it's pure embedded kind of programmed mind control that's going on also. And there's going to be a lot of radical killing. Now, think in terms of the lady in Russia and the what it took inside of her. And I was asked a question today about why do you think, you know, how could somebody do that? You know, the truth is Cain killed Abel. That was a human thing, sin thing. He was angry and it just turned into wanting to eliminate his brother. This, though, this kind of slaughter, again, called for by a demon god, small g, and then initiated by those who are yielded. Now, if you are yielded to a demon god in any format whatsoever, and you're going to be drawn to this. Ultimately, you can go all the way back to the history, all the way back to Sumer. You can look at Chechen Itza. You can look at, you can look at human sacrifice and do a little study around the world, and you're going to see that a lot of it's related directly to unto demon gods and goddesses, small g's. That's what occurred in Russia. And I believe the woman not only committed to doctrines of demons that open the door for demonic presence, and they are bloodlusters, and they desire human sacrifice, not just to appease them, but it becomes the doorway by which more of them come through. Now, when I'm asking the question here, why would anybody want to do that? Well, the sin nature, of course, when killing, and we have a young boy here not too far from where I live that went into a high school yesterday and shot two other students. The sheriff's come out and said he knows the motivation, but he doesn't want to tell anybody yet. We have somebody from the Pentagon that has shot officers the other day, killing one 29-year-old female officer that was her first day on the job. Why would anybody do that? You think in terms of taking a life, I mean, it's just not in me. Even when it comes down to the radical evil people that we engage and deal with, I mean, there's times, can I give you something personal? I mean, there are times that I think in terms of those that have done brutalization to the children, rituals, sexual abuse, putting them in cages, human trafficking, satanic, you know, some of that really ugly stuff, and what we see happening among the followers, you know, the ISIS crew, and you think, you know, just, you know, you want it. I mean, there's times you just want to do whatever it is to eliminate. I mean, I think in terms of the way Jesus went into the temple courts, zeal for the house of God consumed him, and he cleared the temple. Jesus said it would be better, listen, to harm one of the little ones, to hurt one of the little ones, it would be better for a millstone to be tied around your neck, be thrown into the deepest sea, than to face him in the judgment. So there is a payday. There is a day of accountability. Let all the victims know everywhere there is a day of accountability. And even when you think, and even when the victimizers dance as if they've gotten away with everything, everybody is taken to the second resurrection, the second death, the great white throne judgment, and payday someday. Everything outside the blood of Christ, outside the redemption of God, you take a read. Listen, if you don't know God and you don't know Christ, outside of that, what is your justification? For, you can knock on heaven's door and say, let me in, let me in, let me in. I want to live forever. Well, why should they let you in? What would be the answer? And take again a look, wherever you're from, take a look at the cross. Why did Christ die? Why did he provide? Why was he called the door? He said, I am the doorway. He's the gateway to God. You need to take a look at that. Why would anybody want to do it? You think in terms of gangbanger shooting here in the local area, somebody went in and just walked in by design. It was an assassination, shot the pizza man in the head. In robberies, in home invasions, people do it over so many different reasons why here on the news. I mean, it's a daily thing, whether it's the local news that I listen to, got news stuff all around me, and we hear it constantly. And you ask the questions why. And then you watch some of the forensic shows, the ID, and, we're invested in. I do a lot of study in criminalistics, criminology, forensic psychology. We do a lot of studies in all of this, victimization, victim assistance, getting down to it. And you got to understand, some people, so radically evil. And then when you accompany that with demonic presence, then that demonic presence can drive people. But we're talking about individuals, and we're talking about sometimes group killings. Let's jump over to program shooter assassins like in Arizona, like in Colorado, like in VTech, and so on and so on. But let's talk now about 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion. Humans dead in less than 4 years, maybe three years. The predictions in Scripture show us that one-third, you can even just taking one aspect, when the abyss is opened. When the abyss is opened and the dark side opens the abyss, and again, Revelation 9 is there for a reason. All believers need to know Revelation chapter 9 is there for a reason. And then we talk about the possibility of armies, and we talk about the entities coming down. Well, the end of the story in chapter 9 is this. Listen carefully. Verse 18, by these three was the third part of men or mankind killed by fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, and in their tails were likened to serpents, and their heads, and they had heads, and with them they do hurt. One third of humankind. Think in terms of one third dying. Now, when I'm looking at this and I'm looking at a number of aspects, we're going to look at some of the biblical aspects of the coming slaughter of humanity, the coming depopulation of humanity. Now, the first thing that many of you are going to be thinking about is the Georgia Guidestones. You're going to be thinking about Agenda 21. You're going to be thinking about the elitists and the Nazis and some of the others. And I'm going to tell you right now that I do believe that a part of the reason for the coming, part of the reason for the coming global or multi-continental, multinational chaos by design, part of the reason is depopulation. I mean, one thing is collapsing governments, not destroying them, because the ultimate end of a new order is to assimilate their wealth, assimilate their military, assimilate their structures, and bring their people into servitude. That's part of the issue. But behind the chaos to come, and that's prior to the other events that we see in the book of Revelation and prophecy, and prior to Revelation 9 and the abyss and so forth, before that prophecy and that insight to where one third of humanity is slaughtered, killed, gone. I mean, we can take a look right now at all of what's happening in the world. We think, and without question, it's astounding. I'm watching some of the war stories in the last number of days, and World War II and the Philippines and the war with Japan. And it is just absolutely devastating to listen to 80-year-old veterans and see them break down in tears as they talk about their friends slaughtered to the left of them, slaughtered to the right of them, and all around them. I mean, it's just the history of that pain. Can I stop for a moment and mention to you, there is a time in which God will absolutely wipe away the finality of all this pain. You see, people can carry pain. You could be carrying pain. There's pain concerning the bloody battlefields. There are soldiers that don't want to talk about it because they don't want the images in their head. They don't want the smells in their nose. They don't want the sounds in their ears. For all those that have the pain of the bloodshed, the war, and all the rest, for all those who have been victims of violence and violence again and again and again, to the SRAs and the DIDs, and to those coming out of human trafficking, to those that have come off the battlefields. Verse 4, chapter 21, the book of Revelation. Prediction of a reality to come. Listen carefully. I thought about this the other night when I watched some of the very, very old men wearing their old veterans' hats and talking about the battlefields. And they were showing pictures of the battlefields, soldiers burning, soldiers without legs. I mean we're talking over the, you know, over less than 100 years, we're talking millions slaughtered, some never. I remember when I was in France at the Rennes Chateau, where the Gnostics and all the stories and the Da Vinci Code, I remember standing there looking out over the mountainous areas, and that's where battles in all the areas. Yeah, and I wondered to myself how many were not buried? How many just faded into the ground as their spirits left them? Revelation 21:4. Would you write it down? As you're laying there at night, some of you, sometimes with tears, some of the veterans, this is dedicated to you today from me. It is from God, Revelation 21:4. Listen, quote, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Stop. The former things. I'm reading about a portion of biblical prophecy in which Christ has returned, the millennium is kicked in, the end of the age, the beginning of the eternal kingdom, the reign of God. And we read in these chapters where we get to see God face to face as those who have been redeemed. We carry, listen, we're talking about the former things. Well, we're living in that which will be wiped away. We're living in that which will be passing away at some point. The former things are passed away. The former things are passed away. Now, you know what this means? The former things are what you and I, the wars, the slaughter, the thing in Russia that I'm talking about, the little girl, that woman carried the little girl's head by the hair, holding it up high, dedicated to the demon god. I'm going to tell you why I think that Jesus is the hero of humanity. That it's God's brilliance and his physics, his works, in the work of the cross, the gospel, where God, this is where the hope lies, an indestructible and eternal hope, immortal hope. Jesus saves and brings us to immortality, brings us face to face with God, brings us to a time in future history in which history will never end. And I'm just going to read to you the experience of future history. Two things about this verse. This is the God that I know right now, though I haven't seen him, though I haven't looked upon him with eyes that are immortal, which I'll have in Christ. That's the God that works in your life right now. That's the God that we talk about in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all compassion, all the mercies, who helps us in all our troubles. It's the one who, that's the one I rely upon now. When I stand at times as a man and deal with some of the things that we've dealt with and see some of the brutality and destruction of life, I've driven home in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and because of what the pain that I've seen, I've wept all the way home. I have been into Pennsylvania so many times because of the ritual abuse and the things there, going across all the way to Lititz. I think half the way I listened to worship songs, prayed for the great state of Pennsylvania, for the victims and all the rest, and prayed and prayed and prayed. We've invested over 20 years of prayer into Pennsylvania. But I remember weeping half the way as I thought about the cities and the people and the individuals and kids in cages and the ritual abuse and the programming and all of the radical evil, the satanic radical evil. And so I'm going to say right now I get to look to the God that loves me, the God that I'm speaking about in this one verse, the God that I will see face to face, and I will experience verse 4. So veterans, you will experience the depth of this. Victims, you're going to experience the depth of this in the future, the finality of this. Let me read it again, quote, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." End of quote. Listen, you can go on to verse 5, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Do you know him? Arab, do you know the living God through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace?" You take a read there, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. Do a study. Let God speak to you. It's astounding. Back to the killing of the human race. Here's what I told John B. Wells today. Here's what I believe, and I want you to think through this. I believe with the rise of the dark side manifesting presence on a global scale, Revelation 12 shows their global agenda. Revelation 13 shows the manifestation of that new order. And then you read the rest of the book of Revelation, and you're going to see in the book of Revelation the predictions of, let me mention one, the red horse prophecy. Revelation 6. The undergrounders, the Luciferians, the real ones, the ones that know human sacrifice, the ones that are there now creating a master race, they know this very well. They know they're plotting, they know they're planning, they know they have their boots, their deep, dark, satanic black boots on the ground. And they're plotting a slaughtering of humanity by the hundreds of millions to bring a collapse that will kick in a economic and food chain collapse that will kick in skirmishes and war, that will kick in plague and famine, and the beast of the earth be released, one-fourth of mankind gone. Now, again, why would anybody want to do that? Well, it is a satanic plot. It is a satanic plan. It is part of the agenda, that side agenda. If you think in terms of seeing World War II, and I've been to Auschwitz, I stood in the gas chambers, I stood in the barracks, I looked at and felt a taste of history. Same cobblestone little brick street, areas that I walked on, where the trains that brought them in, where Mengele stood, wanted to spit on the ground. I realized that, 70 years, whatever it was, 70, This is where people were dragged in. This is where they were shoveled. They were gassed. This is where they're shoveled in the ovens. This is where their ash. I mean, there's ash and there's, I mean, this is where their voices were. And though you look at the horrors of any war, matter of fact, you know, go back. I mean, you can go back to the brutality of wars all the way back to Sumer. You can look in the Old Testament. You can look at the brutality there. You can look at, just look at the history of war. Tribes. Yeah, tribes in Africa that do ritual and dance under their demon gods, put their war paint onto the demon gods, and they attack the other tribes, and then they will eat the ones they've conquered, they will eat them. What kind of man does that? A saying from a movie. And so when you have the mix of deep, dark, sin-packed humanity and the breath of the demons, the activity of the demons in and on them, well, then the slaughter of others. It's as if conscience is erased. It says, listen, the demons revel in the shed blood, the torture of humanity. That's why the underground knows, the underground, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, the undergrounders know this, that deep, dark, painful, terrorizing, torturous rituals that involve the bloodletting, they all know that's the number one way the demons are appeased, and that's the way to bring them on through. And so the ritual tonight, take a look, Satanic Ritual Calendar, heads up SRAs and helpers. All over the globe, anywhere there are SRAs, or the history of SRAs, there's a coven, there's a group, there are those who know and will do rituals, blood rituals, to appease the demons. And though the public world, of television and fashion and all the rest have no real sense of clue. This is too bizarre for them. Well, so is the woman that cut off the head of the little girl in Russia and holding it up, praising a demon god. But they're praising Satan and the demons in human bloodletting tonight, on a multinational, multicontinental scale. And anybody that has worked with SRA knows the sheer numbers and knows that they cannot exist without the coven and ritual that's done. For those wanting to study the biblical side of that, go back to Ezekiel chapter 8, because the past is packed with human ritual sacrifice, and it has everything to do with warfare. The Moabite king is ritually blooded, shedding the blood of his own son in a ritual on the wall to draw powers for his soldiers to beat Israel. Demonization to weaponize armies. And the prediction of the most demonized, demon-infused, militaristic system in all of human history will be on the field, Revelation 19:19, Armageddon. Even the culmination, even the final bloody battle is not man alone. It is mankind to the each and every last one of them that are left infused demonically. Mark of the beast, worshiping the image, following the Therion, the Antichrist, the beast, onto the field. What's going to happen in a few years in Armageddon, 10 years, I don't know, 7 years, I don't know. But I do know this, that it takes decades to build in that direction, and you and I are in the context of those decades. The wars of the past, the nations, the ethnic cleansings, the gang warfares, ISIS, the Nazis and the slaughter of millions, Stalin and the purges. Talk about purges. I mean, we can stop on the human scale for a few moments and think in terms again what I said in the beginning. There's coming a time when they're going to be in the great chaos. Red Horse Prophecy, the underground Luciferians call it the Black Awakening. Hundreds of millions, by design, with forged, transmuted, demonized, programmed slaughterers, killers that will be unleashed collectively. If you read Revelation 6, the Red Horse Prophecy, the Word of God tells us that all of a sudden peace is taken from the whole earth. Arene. The Greek word means the idea of the cessations of hostilities, a peace that brings a stop to hostilities and brings people together, brings, you know, peace. Well, all of a sudden that's removed instantly, globally, all at one time. And instantly and globally, all at one time, it would seem as though maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe a few million, will go satanically crazy, activated, and slaughter, svadzo. Now, that's literally the beginning. I mean, even when that occurs, hundreds of millions of dead in just weeks, if not just days, then we have the prediction of one-third. I'm just going to deal with one of those. One-third of mankind. And now we're talking billions. Let's now talk about 2.5 billion dead in less than 3 years. That's huge. That's massive. That's the bodies will stack. This is beyond World War II. This is beyond the Nazis. This is beyond anything else in all of human history, just as Jesus said so in Matthew 24. Predictions of killing humanity. And let me tell you something. The Red Horse event is by design. White Horse, the unleashing of the Antichrist, by design. The collapse of economies, the collapse of the food chain, by design. The collapse on a global scale and the one-fourth of humanity and all that brings, it's all by design. And we can get into, and we probably should, more and more of the trilateralists, Bilderbergers, globalists, elitists, and all the rest. This again is the people, not that just attend Bohemian Grove, but the people behind it. You know, are they there inside of the universities, inside of the clubs, inside of the, you know, here's where the three primary places, real Luciferians, if you want to call them the Illuminati, you can. It doesn't make any difference anymore. They are what they are. They are serpent worshipers. And I'm just going to tell you, the Spirit of God indicates right now there are at least two real serpent worshipers listening right now. I'm just going to tell you, the Spirit of God's given that word and insight as they're listening and monitoring the show, and they have done things to try to. As a matter of fact, I showed a picture on the video that I put up on our Facebook page. Is it Masonic? Is it OTO? Is it Luciferian? Picture of an older looking individual, masqueraded face. What does it say on the back? Homo homini lupus est. So somebody has done what they're going to do. And again, here's where the demons, here's where the real undergrounders, of course, they hate Christians. The idea of the elimination of believers. So when the great chaos occurs, the Red Horse event, I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe from our engagement with the underground that they've already picked their targets. It's all about elimination of resistors, elimination of population, the creation of fear and terror, the bringing down of governmental structures so that they can assimilate it very quickly. Because after the chaos, you better believe it, Revelation 13, the rise out of nowhere, it seemingly, Anabano, it is the rise of a new order. Satanically empowered order. Look at the context of Revelation 13. Now, we've talked about this. I've already mentioned that. But I'm going to tell you that new order already out there, already being developed over the last number of decades. We're talking decades and decades and decades until they build and they build and they build. Not to be a regional thing, not to be a local or regional thing, not to be a one nation thing, not to be a partial world thing, but a global. It has to be global. That's what Jesus taught in Matthew 24. When all these things, and it's all on a world, you know, field, when all these things are on the field, it's got to be global. Included in the goal for, you know, a new order, which is then political, military, and economics going to rule it. They're going to rule from those three aspects primarily. It means there's a need to eliminate resistors. I'm going to tell you that some of you that are listening right now may have already been targeted by sleeper slaughterers, chosen ones, satanic chosen ones, who are in. No, in one sense, like ISIS, targeting anything. I mean, they don't care if you're Catholic, Anglican, Lutheran, Baptist, whatever. If you in any way cling to the cross, have a picture of the cross, or have some kind of Christian name around you some way, they want to come to slaughter you. It's because the demon they embrace, the evidence of the demonization of ISIS is evident. And the evidence of the sleepers, the evidence of the troops of Antichrist will be the same. But I'm going to tell you that in the unleashing of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, activating those, once peace is removed, then there's going to be those who are going to slaughter. I'm going to tell you again, that is by design. I'm going to tell you again, everything you read about in Revelation 6, the Antichrist, the chaos, the collapse of economics and food chain issues, the pale green where death in Hades. You're talking hundreds of millions dead in a very short time. That's only the beginning. That's all about their design to collapse. They must collapse the political, economic, militaristic systems that are in place. They must attack and bring down and kill off the resistors. You know why? It's a design of ultimate regime change. That's what chaos, you know, our new order coming out of the chaos is all about. Is that a random thing? It's not something that just occurs. No, this is by a long, satanically empowered, guided, directed, swelling design. Let me make it very clear. Hell's Kitchen put this together. And Hell's presence, the sum total of the demonic realm, Satan, will be from one end to the other end in guiding all of this. So if you're going to think in terms of the wars and the nations and the ethnic cleansings and the Nazis and the purges in Russia and ISIS today, and if you're going to think of all those, they pale in comparison to what's predicted in Scripture that the dark side is going to do and what the dark side itself says. I can stop, back off, take a look, Mount St. Helens. Think in terms of Yellowstone, and if we had that erupt, they're talking extinction level on a global scale. I mean, just some of the issues concerning earthquakes and volcanoes. Think in terms of smaller comets. And I'm going to tell you this. Biblical prophecy tells us that the world will not be eliminated by nuclear weapons, though they may be used in skirmishes. Though they may be used in some of that, when we're talking 3 billion dead within a 3.5-year period. There's not going to be an elimination of the entire population by nuclear war, nor by meteors and comets and so forth. They may play a part in part of this, but that's not the end of humanity. Though there's going to be a feeling in the great chaos to come, the great black awakening as they consider it, the radical red horse prophecy, though there is great slaughter in that, that's not the end. And though you read Revelation chapter 9, 1/3 of mankind dead. And there's a listing what John saw, what looked like the smoke and the brimstone and so forth. And everybody can say what, but the ultimate effect is 1/3 of mankind. We're talking billions now. That's part of it. But I'm going to tell you again, this is by satanic design infused in the elitists that are there. I mean, I listened today to the head of Microsoft. I listened today to Turner, Ted Turner. I listened to Agenda 21 individuals. I listened to and read articles and looked again at the Georgia Guidestones that wants to rid the earth of, 6,500,000? They want to leave. They only want, 500 million? Half a billion? That's all they want for the planet to sustain? I mean, it could even reduce it down to 500,000. I mean, but in the plot concerning the end game, concerning Armageddon, this is where God goes way beyond conspiratorial conjecture. And where people look at the public sense of the elitists, I don't think we have any real idea of how deep the wealthy elite are in with the shedding of blood and the Luciferian serpent worshipers. Ezekiel 8 shows the picture. It's a biblical picture. And the future, there's no way the massive satanic demonic powers can be here operative without the gateways through which they come. And they come primarily the most powerful way through human sacrifice. So the stories you hear, whether in England, whether in Europe, whether in Belgium, whether in the Mother of Darkness Castle, whether in Bohemian Grove, Skull and Bones, on and on and on that goes. It's way beyond that. Now, they're committed to physical secrecy. They're also committed at this point anyway to the supernatural dark side covering, so those investigating, you're going to need a lot of prayer and see the hand of God break through. That's the only way the good prophet Ezekiel got to see the inside of the ritual chambers of the serpent worshipers in Ezekiel chapter 8, only by the hand of God. So believers worldwide, believers everywhere, the need is to see 10 million fearless believers like Philip in Acts chapter 8. That's the goal. That means, though, those that know authority, those who know how to pray, those who know how to rebuke the powers of darkness, those who want to steal Ephesians 5, expose this, well, then we acknowledge in the extra files, the killing of the human race is in the hands of Hell's Kitchen, fused into the deceived elitists in the political world, the military world, and the wealthy elite. And you better believe right now that they are knowingly, clearly, sophisticated, on a level of sophistication, connected. They are the shadow system. They are the system that once they come out of the shadows will surpass governments, militaries, and the known wealthy elite in the world. I mean, it's just beyond anything human history has ever known. What do you do in the midst of all that? What do you do concerning that? I mean, you can deal with what they're actually stating in Agenda 21. Go take a look at that. You can look at the Georgia Guidestones and wonder and how it is a wonder to me that somebody hasn't already blasted that and knocked. You know, it's amazing to me that such declarations can be out there. But the Georgia Guidestones has its roots in Hell's Kitchen and the reality of depopulating the planet. The killing of humanity, slaughtering of hundreds of millions is right around the corner. The killing and slaughtering and deaths of billions in the days of the tribulation, just years away. You know what else is just years away? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's come to make war. He's come to judge. You ever read Revelation chapter 19? Four great hallelujahs. The descent of the Son of God. I mean, he said so. Matthew chapter 14, the angel of God said so. You know, Acts chapter 1. I mean, the declaration of biblical prophecy, you know, as far as the overarching picture is the return of Christ. That is one of the reasons for the hurrying up, because they know their time is short, of the dark side. Darkseid's plotting all of what they're plotting. You know what they're you know how it's all based on what God is going to be doing. All of this is to try to attempt to stop. And this is going to boggle the minds of some. But if you don't read Revelation 19:19 and understand the ultimate agenda, that they're there to stop the descent of Christ because of what's going to happen in Revelation 20, we're talking about the end of satanic presence in the affairs of humanity and no satanic presence in the engagement of the redeemed. Satan bound 1,000 years. Satan is eventually destroyed, thrown off lake of fire completely. It's done. It's over. A new age. The former. You and I are living in the former. Again, Revelation 21, verse 4, there, the very end of the verse says, "For the former things are passed away." You and I are living in the former things. You and I are living right now in that context. And when we talk about the next couple of years, the next few years, we're talking about hundreds of millions in the chaos. We're talking about billions in the context of the tribulation. And we're talking about the killing, the slaughtering of humanity. Now, it's one thing to lose your life here. You lose your life without God, without Christ, without redemption. You lose it all. God takes no pleasure in that. Would that you had been saved. You know what 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us too in prophetic sense? In reference to anyone in rejecting Christ, they perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Could have been. There's no, there's after death, no opportunity. You're gone. It's done. Come to Christ. Why would you not want the redemption of God in Christ other than just loving your sins and loving the devil himself? And with that, you're toast. You're doomed. You're done. Both now and forever. In Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away," God, no one else, God. "God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son," God. "Shall wipe away all tears from their eyes," the totality of tears. "And there shall be no more death," not even one, "neither sorrow, neither cry, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." No more pain. "For the former things," this former order, "will all pass away." Now that is the indestructible hope that is found in God, in Christ, and in the redemption that he brings. If you're a believer in Christ, it's time to stand up and give God hallelujah and thank you. And offer your life to serve him. What do you got left? 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? Maybe you're a millennial. Do you want to do something important in life? Deny yourself, take up the cross, follow Christ, and help bear the fruit that God, the saving, redeeming, healing, and delivering of lives. The advance of the kingdom of God with the opportunity to see parts and pieces and destruction to the dark side along the way. Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, in the context of seeing the goodness, the glory, the wonder of God, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." This is Russ Dizda, the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Remember us in your prayers. We need you. Remember us in support. Good night.